whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. You heard it. Mark Schlereth is coming on in 45 minutes. Doc Pandya, and as always, especially this time of year, there's plenty of injuries to go through. We're working on the Warriors as they land their plane in Houston, getting ready for their big game. Tomorrow night, it's Willard and Dibs. 888-957-9570 is the number. And here's the question. Just agree with my premise, even if you don't.
Okay.
Okay? Just please.
Sure.
If you do anything for me today, just agree with my premise.
Sounds good.
All right. The Niners should probably have a better record.
I agree, Mark.
Right? Like they're a better performing team than that. I know you are what your record says you are. We can Bill Parcells this thing, and you're not wrong. But agree with my premise that when you watch the Niners play, you're like, oof, I mean, they blew some games. They probably shouldn't have blown.
Right, and right.
Like they should have a better record, right?
You are what your record says you are, mm-hmm. But if I look at the three losses in division, you probably should have won two of them. And what Seattle did, that's football. Seattle came down, they beat your defense, they scored.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one to me wasn't blown as much as the other two were blown. So yes, they should have a better record.
Yeah, I mean,
premise affirmed.
Outplayed the opponent in those three games based on a lot of the metrics that we use to decide whether or not someone's outplayed an opponent. But yeah, they're all like, that doesn't mean you win the game. That doesn't mean they win the game. You got to do the thing all the way to the end. I get it. All right. So, but if we accept that premise, you know what I want to know? I want to know where your heart and mind go once you agree with that premise. So the Niners are 6-7, and if you buy the premise that their record should be better, and then I tell you, for example, this is kind of what inspired this today. I saw this number, and it blew my mind. And I know there are other analytics pieces out there that many have used throughout the year to suggest, well, the Niners, remember the DVOA week?
Yeah.
We're like, oh my gosh, they're one of eight teams that's in the top right corner, which means they got a plus offense and a plus defense. They're one of eight teams, and they have far and away the worst record of those eight teams.
Yeah, that was EPA, but same right. thing,
whatever.
Same diff.
You yeah. know what I'm saying. A bunch yeah. of letters. You put a bunch of letters together and they
all
mean
those
something.
Things.
Whatever. So here's the latest. And I hadn't seen this one before. Yard differential, okay? And yard differential, I'm
YD.
Sure. I'm sure you get it. Like, pretty simple. Have you outgained your opponents, or have they outgained you? And who is the best at outgaining their opponent? And yards, you don't get any points for them, but it is a pretty good indicator of who's doing a better job of moving up and down the field. And usually the team that's moving up and down the field is going to win the football game most of the time. So check this out. The top four teams this year in yard differential. It's a good week to do it, too, because the Niners had just a bananas yard differential at halftime of their game against the Bears on Sunday. So number four at plus 973 yards, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens. Number three, plus 991 yards, the Detroit Lions. Now, doesn't that surprise you a little bit? Don't the Lions feel like they're just steamrolling people
yep.
all the time? Guess who's got a better yard differential than the Detroit flipping Lions?
Who, Mark?
The San Francisco 49ers,
jeez.
Who are number two at 1,000. 40 yards better than their opponent. Only behind one other team. Can you guess who it is? Number one in the league is? I hope you didn't say Chiefs.
No.
Y'all know better than that.
Yeah. Probably Philly.
I bet some of you might have said Bills, but Dibs, you're right. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at 1,129 yards. Those are the top four teams in terms of, dude, we're going to get that yard and you're not. So both sides of the ball, we're doing it, you're not. Number four, the Ravens. Number three, the Lions. Number two, the 49ers.
Yeah.
At 6-7. And number one, the Eagles, who've won 9 in a row. So here's my question. When I tell you that, does it make you hopeful or mad?
I'm more hopeful than mad.
Okay.
I'm kind of done being mad because I know why they blew those games, and it has nothing to do with yard differential. It has to do with bad plays, bad mistakes, a missed field goal, a botched punt coverage, which I don't believe plays into what you're talking about when you go to cover a punt. That is not yards in yard differential at all. A PI on Devondre Campbell that set up a drive or kept a drive going, that doesn't factor into that. So what you're saying, it means that the Niners are a good team. And all the advanced metrics, the basic metrics, put aside the record, they all tell you the same thing. The Niners are really good, and they should have more wins than 6 wins,
yep.
But they don't. So I don't get mad at that. And if the year ends and they don't go to the playoffs, well, then maybe for me, that's a time that I would get mad. But I'm not giving up.
Well, okay, sure. So, and that's fine. That's where my mind goes too. It's kind of like the closer I get to Thursday night, I do feel like a 1-2 punch over the next 5 days could actually mean something for 49er football. And this is the 1-2 punch. And it's a huge if. But if they beat the Rams on Thursday night, and the Packers beat the Seahawks on Sunday, we got action. That's my belief. The NFC West has got action if that happens. And I know a lot of people, if you bounce around and look at this on social media, a lot of people, oh, there's a way that a four-way tie at 9-8, and here's what needs to happen, and then they'll list 18 games that need to go a certain way. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. That's like, there's no way. That this one scenario of 18 games, it's not going to play out that way. I would much rather go week to week. And it is my belief that if the 49ers beat the Rams and the Packers beat the Seahawks, we've got action.
Yeah.
And there would be the renewed belief in me. The closer I get to this, it's not that I'm going to predict a 5-game win streak. I still find that highly unlikely. And a win over the Bears does not suddenly make me think, quote, the Niners are back. I don't think that at all. But I guess this is what I'm saying. In terms of late season magic that you hope for as a fan, this is more realistic than most. Because I do still believe that this football team is largely underperforming. This is going to sound stupid now, but kind of like only on the scoreboard. And that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
I'm fully aware of that. But at the end, I know people want to do the math brain thing. You are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
I don't believe 6-7 teams are always built the same. I don't believe 11-2 teams are built the same. Like, give me the Eagles and the Vikings. They have the same record. Are they built the same? I don't think so. I find one of them much more effective and scary than the other. That's just me.
And that would be the Vikings?
I think the Eagles are much better than the Vikings right now.
You mentioned the grid before about the EPA expected points added based on your performance on offense and defense. And you talked about the teams that were in the top right quadrant, which are teams that are above the norm in offense and above the norm in defense. And right now there are only 5 teams in that upper quadrant: Buffalo, Detroit, Philly, Green Bay, and Minnesota. Those are your 5. And then I look at the teams on the border, and you see San Francisco and Kansas City, their logos are on top of each other. They're almost imperceptible in terms of the advanced analytics. Who's better? One team's 11-2, one team is 6-7. And so that, for me, bolsters your argument about, yeah, you know, what this team could be or should be, because according to the EPA grid, and, you know, Pittsburgh is a team that is really close to being over in that right side. Seattle's also close. The Chargers are close, but the Niners and the Chiefs are almost identical in advanced metrics, yet one team's 11-2 and one 6-7.
12-1.
Oh, they're 12-1. I'm 12-1. Sorry. Yeah, apologies.
Flipping 12-1.
Sorry, Andy.
Incredible, you know? And I love this text right here that just came in, Comcast Business Text Line. Mark, this is a good listener, somebody who's tapped into our station, and we appreciate it. Mark, numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are several other metrics that point to that they're not very good this year. Well, let me say it this way. No, there aren't. Now, here
there are.
No, not metrics. There's just a record.
Well, there's now, stats. If you think stats are not metrics, are metrics.
Stats are metrics, but what I'm
they're
saying,
numbers.
If you want to zero in on certain moments of the field or pieces, like this thing, that a yardage differential, in theory, is talking about your offense, it's talking about your defense, it's talking about almost every player on the field. I think we know where the 49ers have struggled this year and shown themselves to, quote, not be a good team. It's when the special teams unit is on the field. That's one of them.
32nd in net punt average.
Yeah, absolutely disastrous.
So that's a metric that doesn't show up in your, you know,
correct,
your stat.
Correct. But also the special teams is, while important, on the field very, very rarely. And it's not enough for me to say, well, that makes them a bad team. That's a bad unit. And it is absolutely...
Well, it cost you at least one game.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that it hasn't been addressed in a different way up to this point under Kyle Shanahan. I don't really get that. So I'm going to give everybody that one. Certainly in the red zone this year, they have not been a good team. Getting better in
They're
the last hit.
Up to 22nd.
So still below the middle.
Surging to 22nd.
Surging, yeah. They were really bad there.
They were number one last year.
And so all of those things, absolutely, they go into the stew.
Opponent red zone percentage, the 31st.
Okay.
So these are all things that, as
absolutely,
we go beyond the numbers, these are reasons to me why you're 6-7.
Well, and you're right. You're right. But those are a little bit more finely pointed than others that are talking about the entire flow of the game.
Sure,
is my point. So look, and you get, look again, that's the point. That's what we're all doing here, talking this out, right? You get to look at whatever you want to look at. And I'm going to sit here and I am going to firmly believe that the Niners have underperformed. They are better than this. And because I think they're better than this, I'm with you when I ask that question, and y'all can weigh in. 888-957-9570. When you hear that, when you hear that the Niners are outgaining their opponents at Lions and Eagles levels, does that make you hopeful for what's left or angry because of what's happened? I'm hopeful. You're hopeful. The other half of our room on our show, I think, angry. Right? Grandy, would you agree with that? That ticks you off when you hear that.
The stats that you share, to me, it makes me feel more frustrated than anything else, because if you are that good and all those metrics that suggest that, then how the hell do you explain the fact that they're below 500?
Win the game.
Disaster
exactly.
Class of a season.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's just kind of a matter of like where we want our brain to go in a moment like that. Do you sort of kind of want to look forward or do you want to look back? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you either one is wrong. The answer can be both.
And for me, I'm hopeful now with reserving the right to be angry later. Because if this does not result in a playoff berth, then I'll be angry and I'll look back at the red zone defense, the fourth quarter points allowed, where they've given up 9 points per fourth quarter all year long, the red zone offense, the special teams. These are things that I am reserving the right to be angry about later.
Kyle Shanahan spoke today. We've got some things to play for you. The injury report for sure. But let's continue to get into this. And we welcome in your calls right now at 888-957-9570. When you hear that the Niners are right next to the Eagles and Lions, in fact, ahead of the Lions in terms of outgaining their opponents this year, does that make you hopeful or mad? 888-957-9570. Stink Mark Schlereth joins us in a half hour. We're sponsored by Safeway. It's Willard and Dibs.
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
Dot Nation is
Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 Again. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
You know what, JK? I probably had that coming to me after last night.
He's right.
My God.
Dude, you picked the Cowboys. It was the right pick. It wasn't.
But it turned out to be a losing pick.
Wait a minute. What your record says you are, Dibs.
And I'm 20-21.
I don't want to hear that you were on the right side when the scoreboard said otherwise.
I'm not saying that I was on the right side, but when you look at the pick, at its essence, I feel good about the pick. I like the pick. And the pick should have been the correct pick, but Dallas Cowboys are not really coached at all.
It's funny that you're willing to use shoulda, coulda, woulda when it's about you.
But not
the teams we talk about.
No, for sure. For sure. The Niners should be 9-4.
Probably.
But they're not.
They're correct.
And I should be 25-16.
Nah.
But I'm not.
You've gotten away with some this year, too, right?
It's gone both ways.
Last night was horrific.
All you have to do is not get near the ball.
Right. There's people who don't know what we're talking about. Your Fade the Dibber pick last night was the Cowboys plus, what was it, 5.5?
Didn't even matter.
Plus five and a half. You guys were
clapping and dancing and singing. And
we were right.
Yeah, you sure were.
Listen, when given an opportunity, you bet against the Cowboys. That's the rule. I'm raising children who do a Thanksgiving family pool every year, and I tell them, it doesn't matter if you think the Cowboys are going to win. Pick the opponent and put them low. That's what I did. I had the Giants at 2. It was one of only 2 games that I missed in the entire pool, and I won money. Why? Because I didn't pick the Cowboys because that's bad juju. Period. It's bad juju to pick the Cowboys and sit down and root for them. And you got a hard lesson taught to you last night.
Thanks, yeah.
Because, by the way, even if you don't mess that punt up.
Thanks.
And I'd argue that football players, that's how they are. See ball, grab ball. But anyway.
See ball, grab ball is excusing a grotesque lack of coaching and education of the players.
That also gave the Bengals the ball at their own 40-yard line and has nothing to do.
It has nothing
to do with Ja'Marr Chase being given an entire half of the field to walk into the end zone. Normally, when a team gets the ball with 2 minutes left to go in a tie game, it's going to be a field goal.
But when you block a punt and you don't go near it, you get the ball, and then you have the opportunity to go down there and still mess it up.
Correct.
And not kick a field goal and win the game.
Young man thought he was going to grab the ball and get some more yards. He's going to head the other way.
Does not understand the rule where a punt is blocked. The only thing you can't do as the receiving team is go near the football.
Well, or you can grab it and take it to his house.
Right.
Which is what he thought he was going
to
do.
And we all were so quick to, you know, rip Daryl Luter Jr. last year for staggering into the football.
That's a different play.
It's similar.
He wasn't trying to make a play. He didn't even know the ball was landing on his shoulder.
His own teammate was saying, get away, and he didn't get away. In this case, you could see the coaches on the sideline all screaming, no, no, no.
Sure.
And he runs over and tries to make a play,
Have you ever watched a football game before?
Have you ever watched
a football game where you don't yell at the screen at one point, what are you doing?
Have you ever watched a football game where a punt is blocked and the team runs away and they don't touch it?
Yes.
That's called every time.
Yeah. No, not every time, because not every time does the ball actually lollipop into somebody's lap where they think that they can actually get a bunch of yards out of it.
They can get,
and then he dropped
you
the
can
ball.
Get whatever you want to get out of it, but the only thing you can't do is touch the football.
That's what you're mad about.
I'm not mad about anything. All I said to you during the break is that was a bad beat.
It was a bad-ish beat.
That was a bad beat.
I've seen worse.
It was a back-to-back play.
It was way less
of a bad beat where they muffed the punt, and then your defense decides to not play defense. No,
well, they're the Cowboys. They haven't done it all year. They played pretty well last night. That was nowhere near as bad as your Broncos-Browns beat the Monday night before. That was a way worse beat than that one.
That was a worse beat.
That was a worse beat.
I've had a handful of them.
That's all my point.
But
that's all. It was a bad-ish.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it. It's what you do when you make picks.
No doubt. And the world does seem right when you're under 500. I'm just telling you. I woke up today and I'm like, yeah, look at that sun.
I woke up today and I thought, this is exactly what this bit was constructed to do. You know, I make
exactly.
a pick that legitimately looks to be the right pick, and then somehow, some way, it turns out to be the wrong pick.
707, Dibbers sounds like he hung out with Daryl Strawberry last night. Did you hang out with Daryl Strawberry last night?
It'd be a lot more up-tempo if I did. Although Daryl's on the good side.
Yeah, I've always liked Daryl Strawberry. I like Daryl.
I don't know if you ever watched the ESPN 30 for 30 on Doc and Daryl.
I did.
Pretty good.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. It reminds us of our youth watching them, you know, both.
They were amazing.
And they could have both been, like, super Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And neither one of them will go in the Hall.
Nope. Nope. Because, you know, life's got a whole lot of vices.
But yes, it's not the nose candy. It's life with a two-year-old is why I sound like this.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
Blame it on the toddler.
Yeah, yeah.
Little cesspool.
888-957-9570. When you hear this specific thing, and again, one of the reasons I grabbed this, because I'm sure some people are going to be like,
you're cherry picking.
Well, you're just, why does that number matter?
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Right, but some of them are more indicative than others, in my opinion. When I look at a number like this, and I see that the Eagles are number one, and the Lions are number three, and the Ravens are number four.
Good teams.
That's sitting there telling me that, right, even though the Ravens suffer from a little bit of this too, lost a lot of close games, they've coughed some away. I'm thinking of that Raider game earlier this year, stuff like that. But Lamar Jackson, for good portions of this year, we've looked at him and gone, dude, that's the best player in the NFL right now. And I still believe that, even though he's not going to win the MVP because they haven't won enough football games. They might not even probably won't win their division because of the way the Steelers are playing. But I think the Ravens are a better team than the Steelers. The Ravens, there's another one, by the way. The Ravens have a kicker who's gone mental. He's a great, great player, great kicker, but he's gone mental, or maybe it's physical. He's getting older, but he's not making kicks anymore, and it's costing them games. However, they remain here on this list because I believe when they line up with the opponent, more often than not, they're better. They're better than the other opponent. Play by play, they have the answer for the opponent more often than the opponent does. And I believe the 49ers are one of those teams as well. But they're suffering from it more than anybody in the league this year. So I think there's room for both answers. What we're saying, basically, Niners are number three in the league in yard differential.
Right.
Outgaining their opponents. When you hear that, does it make you hopeful for what's left or angry in terms of where we've been? I think there's room to say both.
For sure.
There's absolutely room to say both.
Well, if you look at all their games, and I'm just looking at the game log right now, they've been outgained in games five times, and they're 0-5 in those games.
Yep.
Minnesota outgained them by 7 yards.
Minnesota outplayed
them.
Absolutely outplayed them. And the Chiefs outplayed them.
The Chiefs outgained them by 19 yards.
Yep.
So your differential is interesting because even in a game like that where they got outplayed, they only got outgained by 19 yards. Seattle actually outgained them by 12 yards when they beat them. Green Bay outgained them by 84 yards. Buffalo outgained them by 143 yards.
Jeez.
Those are the games that they lost. And then you look at the Bears, they outgained Chicago by 290 yards.
Yeah.
So your number, which is about 900 and something.
It's over 1,000. Over 1,000.
Of total yards.
Yeah.
A lot of that came against Chicago. 290-yard yard differential to the good.
But 700-plus in the other games, too. And those include the losses where you just said they've been outgained. So
but a lot of those were narrow. Like Minnesota, 7 yards. You got outgained. In Kansas City, you got outgained by 19 yards.
The Minnesota game's a close football game.
Right.
It's a one-score
game. Kansas City wasn't really that close.
It didn't feel as close.
Outgained by 19 yards.
Kansas City doesn't gain a lot of yards.
Seattle was a close game. You got outgained by 12
yards. But example, go back to the Rams game. What was that, week two, week three?
Week three.
Week three. All right, go back to that Rams game. What, you have it in front of you?
Yep.
What is it?
You outgained them by 129 yards.
Good freaking Lord.
Yeah.
Lost. That is not a losing game. It just can't be a losing game.
Yep.
But it was.
You outgained the Jets by 135 in the opener.
There you go.
That's a win. You outgained the Patriots by 215 in week four.
Easy win.
That was a laugher. Even when you boat race Seattle, you outgained them by 125 in week six. So in their wins, a lot of them were just padded by big yardage totals.
How about Tampa? What was that one?
Tampa was 198.
Look at that. And you needed a game-winning field goal, a foot inside the right upright.
Well, because your kicker missed three.
Right.
And, you know, so your yardage numbers are great, and I do think they're indicative of an overall picture of a team that's really good. But when you start to drill down on why they're 6-7, Special teams is a huge part of it.
Sure.
And red zone, both ends. Your red zone offense stinks, and your red zone defense has been embarrassing.
This is why I think that this is a point today. And again, I'm not trying to ride a fence. I just think that there's room for both answers, and it's a matter of what you want to focus on right now as an individual. But there's no two ways about it in my mind. The 49ers are 6-7. They shouldn't be. The reasons that they're not are, I would argue, more their fault than not. Like, there are some healthy, not your fault reasons. You know, the things that Charvarius and Trent have gone through, the injuries, the timing of those injuries, the seriousness of those injuries, the players who were injured. There's a healthy list there, but I think the list of it is your fault is longer and more important when it comes to winning a football game. Like, even when you have no McCaffrey, you had no Debo, you had no George against the Rams, right? Okay, so
they had no Puka, no Cooper.
Right. And then you watch the game and you're like, my God, the Niners are way better. When you watch that game, just close your eyes or remove the scoreboard from actually, you could even keep the scoreboard on there for the majority of the game. The Niners looked way better. And then all of a sudden, there's a jailbreak and a list of things that happen, and you lose the game. And those are the 49ers' fault. Those are the 49ers' fault. So I look back on it, and I still shake my head that the 49ers are where they are. But I also think in the land of fandom, where you fight till the end and you hope until the end and you hope against hope and you think to yourself, hey, maybe my team, you've watched me do it each year with the Giants. You watched Goo do it with the Giants last year. The math still works.
Yep.
When you're sitting there trying to convince yourself that you're still in it, even when you're not in it, you know what I mean? This particular 49er team, I think that this hope against hope that we're doing is more realistic than other hope against hope situations.
So you're willing to say that the math still works?
I am willing to say that the math still works, but I'm not even thinking about it in terms of math. I'm just thinking about it in terms of, I believe that the San Francisco 49ers are one of the seven best teams in the NFC. And they're probably
one of the seven best teams in football.
And if that evens out in the end, they still can do this. I don't think it's crazy to think that they start winning some of these games down the stretch. It's not like they should be overwhelmed Thursday night. It's not like they should be overwhelmed the following Sunday in Miami. We'll talk about Detroit when we get there, if and when the Niners happen to be 8-7 at that time. They might be overwhelmed in that one. We'll see. We'll see where we're at when the time comes. But I just, like, even though I admit this kind of a team, remember when we asked Matt Barrows, he came on and I'm like, the premise that we're all looking at, a 5-game win streak, that sounds silly to you? And he was like, yeah, kind of does. And I get it, but now one of those 5 wins has happened and it was in indominant fashion. And while I still find that to be totally unlikely, I don't know, man. If somebody's going to do a turnabout, this is the team. That's what I think.
Yes, it could be the team, but I look at what you're facing, and you're facing a Ram team healthier than they were on a short week at home. You're going to have to travel to Miami, a team that's going to be playing for their playoff lives, a team that's playing better than they were earlier in the year. You're going to have to take on a couple of divisional opponents and face a Detroit team chasing a 1 seed and a Detroit team that nobody really has had an answer for. So on the surface, yeah, the Niners could be a team. All the numbers, the EPA, the DVOA, the advanced metrics, the yards, whatever, their record should be better, all the rest of it. That all leads you to think that they could do it. And I'm with you, but I look at the slate of games that you're going to have to face.
Slate.
Short week with the Rams, Miami, and you got the Lions still looming.
Oh, it's going to be incredibly hard.
Really hard.
Yeah, and probably not going to happen. I'm not myopic enough to say otherwise. You want to hear this from Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
This is pretty interesting. Because there's been a lot of talk the last 2 weeks about two guys in particular, George Kittle and Debo Samuel. George Kittle, because he had the comment after the Buffalo game that was sort of like, don't ask me why I didn't run that many routes. And then he also had the comments after this game about, well, now we're showing the fight and the urgency that we've been looking for all year. And then Debo goes to Twitter yesterday. I'm not struggling. I'm just not getting the ball. And has since deleted the tweet, by the way.
Oh, deleted.
He has deleted the tweet.
Stand on it.
Stand on what you tweet.
Exactly.
Stand on what you tweet.
Stand on it. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Thank you, Draymond. Brock Purdy spoke about both things. Listen to what he said about George Kittle's involvement.
You know, just how we scheme it up and everything. For me, it's like I trust in the game plan. I trust in our guys to go and make plays, and I just try to take what the defense gives me. I don't walk up to the line of scrimmage in a play and go, I'm going to go here, 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 just because. Like, there's a reason why I go to a certain guy, and it's per coverage, and I'm just trying to get to my answer per play. So George has had a great year. I think he's done a great job of catching the ball and then getting yards after and you know, sparking us in that sense. But, you know, that's sort of just how I go about it. But definitely when you walk up and you see, you know, man coverage and situations, that's where it can be like, all right, like I like my guy here in this situation or matchup, and I'm going to do what I can to get him the ball. I think that's a little different. But when you're going through progressions against zone and things like that, it's different. So
I like what he's saying there. He basically, you know, the whole idea of like, dude, just throw it to George.
Right.
I think there are plays where he might say before the snap, that's likely to be where I go. I like this matchup. I'm going to look there first, and so I'm going to lean in that direction. Obviously, I'm not going to throw it if it doesn't end up being there. But there are a lot of plays where that's not real quarterbacking. It's how I play Madden. I've told you that a bunch of times.
The same way.
I decide exactly where I'm going to throw the ball before the play starts because I can't run through progressions on this gizmo in my hand to A, B, C, Z. What's the button on the underneath?
Triangle, circle. God,
like, what
R1,
are we doing?
L1.
I'm like, I got the guy in the left slot. That's the A button. That's where we're going. And if it gets picked, who cares? It's a video game. But this is real life. And Brock Purdy is not going to decide before the ball is snapped where he's going, because if he does that, I believe he becomes vulnerable. Defenders can read eyes.
He becomes Jimmy, is what he becomes. Yeah. And if you watch Jimmy G and all his film, he had a hard time going from one receiver to the other and working through progressions. And all you have to do is go back and look at the Bears tape, and I look forward to Greg Cosell tomorrow breaking this down. I didn't see a lot of plays where Brock had to go to a second or a third read. A lot of his stuff was just open. He'd get back and he'd look at his primary read, boop, and it was George, and George was open. And a lot of the plays that they called were screens to George, and those were plays where Debo ran down the field to draw the defense away, and then George kind of slipped out, and he had three blockers in front. And it worked like a charm.
Yep. Those were, I mean, again, I said it yesterday.
Two of the biggest plays.
I thought Sunday was Kyle Shanahan's best play calling performance of the year. All right, then what about the aforementioned Debo Samuel and the issue of his social media comments yesterday? I'm not playing poorly. I'm just not getting the ball. Purdy addressed that.
I mean, Debo and I talk all the time, and he's like one of my best friends on this team. Like, I absolutely love Debo and what he's done for me and helping me out. We talk all the time. And, yeah, I think he's right. Like, he's doing great right now with what we ask of him in the offense, and he's not struggling. Like I've said before about, you know, like guys like Ricky or last year with Ayuk for a little bit, like there's just moments, I guess, throughout seasons where, you know, guys just don't get the ball, you know, just depending on like scheme or like what the defensive scheme is, and, you know, them taking guys away. So I want to get Debo the ball every play if I could. I want to have him break all the records as best as possible. I want Debo to do Debo things, and we all do in this building. So it's just how the games have gone. But I love my guy, and I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, give him the ball. So
yeah, I mean, not a surprising answer that Brock is going to find a way to back his guy, to try to throw water on the whole thing. And again, there's a piece, to me at least, to what Debo's saying that has some truth to it. But I also think that that's wrong time to say it, wrong way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't think Debo has lost a step. I've told you that a bunch of times. I can't really quite put my finger on exactly why the production has been so different. I just personally don't put it on that because he looks just as fast to me. He still looks like he's got his burst. It's just not getting the ball in space. But that does not mean that Twitter and I'm doing great, but I'm not getting the ball. You could have said it. Option one would be say nothing. But option two, you could have said it. I'd just say it a little bit differently than I'm not getting the ball. I just don't know the productivity in that. But Brock's answer is not surprising. Kyle talked about it too.
Yeah, I do think that Debo, I don't know if he's lost a step, but he doesn't look to be as explosive in scrimmage plays. Now you look at him in kick returns when he's able to get the kickoff and get ahead of steam. Yeah, he still looks as fast as ever when he's able to build up ahead of steam. And I was looking at all of his plays yesterday as I went through the game one more time. And, you know, one of the most frustrating runs was when he was in the backfield in the pistol and Brock gets the snap. And he hands it to him, and they actually had run a play where they're pulling Dominic Pooney from the right side over to the left side. So it's a guard pull on a shotgun snap or a pistol snap. So he gives it to Debo, and Pooney comes around from the right side to the left side of the formation, and Pooney just whiffed on his block. So Debo gets the ball, and he goes right behind Pooney, right in the hole that Pooney was supposed to create, and Pooney just missed. And the defender, the linebacker, came right through and pow, hits Debo at the line or behind the line of scrimmage. And you could see the frustration from Debo because that was a play that if Pooney would have hit his block, Debo would have been able to get to the second level and actually do something with the ball for a change.
I want to play for you what Kyle Shanahan said about Debo and the situation in the social media. A little breaking news on the baseball free agency front. Max Fried, who was tied to the Giants yesterday by Buster Olney, has signed a new deal with the New York Yankees. So the lefty goes from Atlanta to the Yankees. 8 years, $218 million.
Oh, God.
Now that, I'll tell you why
that's too rich.
It's significant for the Giants.
Years?
Well, it's significant for the Giants because whatever that is in terms of AAV, I believe Corbin Burns will get more. And the Giants are hot after him, and so are a lot of other teams. So 8 years. Freed's younger, I think, than Burns.
Yeah.
But $218 million.
That's a lot. That's a little bit more than 27 per is okay. What that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to look up his age because I do think that that's obviously a part of that. Max Fried.
Yeah, because 8 times 27 is 216.
Actually, Max Fried is 30. Max Fried is 30, and I think Corbin is too. I think they're the exact same age. Indeed they are.
That's
they're
just both too 30. Many years for a pitcher.
Well, you're going to have to do it if you want him. I mean, I think that Corbin will beat that. He'll beat that deal. So, or it's going to be commensurate. It's going to be about the same. So anyway, we will play for you what Kyle Shanahan said about the Debo social media posts coming up. We will talk to Mark Schlereth coming up. Schlereth, couple of weeks ago, said this performance coming up in Buffalo is going to tell me everything I need to know about the 49ers. And you know what happened. So, what does he think now? We'll find out about that. Coming up next, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs.